Now, you were not here for the past 2 days. Halfway knew where you were going and what you were doing, but I didn't really know exactly what the bit was.
I went back to my university, Dan, for the first time in ever, and took part in a School of Communications sports media seminar thing where I guess colleges do this all the time. I guess every college might do two of these a week if you add up all of the different sub-schools inside a university and says, hey, let's bring in a couple people out there in the real world in this field.
Are they all alumni? Did you have to go to...
Okay. I mean, I'm positive that any school would love to do that, you know, whether it's the...
Like, show you, look, going to school here, look how it pays off. Look at this guy.
And we put these people out in the real world, and now once a year we're going to bring a few back for a couple days and...
They make it worth your while?
And play and ask me anything. They help you. They cover your expenses pretty much.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So, part of me has always kind of been over my university experience and just said, well, it happened. I don't hate that it happened. I had a great time. I got the training I needed, but it's over. And so I don't have a relationship with my university like some people do, where they can't wait to go back every year for homecoming, or they have season tickets, or they go back all the time. That's just not my bit. And maybe it would be my bit if my school was 50 miles away and played big, big, big time college football or something like that. I don't know. I can only tell you about my experience, Dan. And when I got my degree, I took it, left, never looked back, and haven't been back since. But I do also think that, we've done okay. I wonder if my university has any idea about that, and I wonder why, if they had a School of Communications, why they might not inquire about...
So you've been wondering this for years. Like, hey, how did they not... I've wondered how I'm not on my school's, like, call for money list.
Yeah, I guess.
Because my girlfriend in college was in charge of the phone bank that would call alumni for money, and they've never contacted me.
It's weird, because on one hand,
Don't tell them where I am.
I didn't want to hear from them at all. And then on the other hand, I kind of wanted to hear from them. Like, you guys, I can't be that far down the list of people from their communications school.
And then once they start contacting you all the time, then you'll just complain about it.
Probably, because as humans we complain, but we also want to be loved, and I don't know. I don't know, but I felt like someday I might like to take part in something like this, which is, I suppose, pretty self-congratulatory if you're back there talking to students about, hey, when I was sitting right where you are. It's a weird experience, partly because you're in there. It's 25 years after you were at that school. You don't recognize any building, like the entire campus. And this is probably way different than schools that have existed for 100 years. But that entire campus where I went to college at Liberty University, it's been completely bulldozed and rebuilt since I was there. Like, they have fallen into absurd amounts of money. I don't recognize anything. It's all new. It's like I never even went to school there. And, there's a number of reasons for that. And I know that even hearing the name of my university gives, people an impression that it's a fair impression, but it's also not the experience you have actually going to school there. There's nothing I found, even either as a student or as my revisit, that is terribly political or anything about that school. But I realize that that's fighting a losing battle to try to explain something that has a wild public perception. But in this particular case, I was brought back for a sports writing, sports broadcasting seminar. There were four of us. Two of them had only been out of school like 3 years, and they were still in the area. And then two of us have been out of school since the mid-90s.
Have we heard of anybody?
I mean, it was me and one other guy. So you're asking, have you heard of the other guy?
Yeah.
He's a sports writer in Cape Cod.
Okay. No Sam Ponder?
No, they no, could Doney? Get Sam Ponder. And Doney was going and then double-crossed me.
Classic Doney.
Classic Doney.
Classic Doney, always bailing out in the last second.
So they brought me
on
in.
On brand.
They brought me in. I brought my my wife, because she went to school there, too. And
hey, no.
And
you don't bring sand to the beach, bro.
And Maddie, who is looking for schools and so forth, because her two cousins have just enrolled there, which kind of surprised us because their parents had no affiliation to Liberty at all. But whatever. And the chance to see our cousins. Yes, she's looking for schools now. We're all getting old, but the experience of going back to where you went to school 25 years ago is really, really difficult for your mind to comprehend. And then you are sort of given, I want to say, four different classes per day. So four on Monday, four on Tuesday. It was a very busy schedule. And in each one, you get like a one-sentence description of what they want you to do. And then it's pretty much up to you and the person you're with to kind of riff your way through it.
You're going to four different classes?
No, you're leading like four different seminar things.
Per day?
Per day. So eight.
Like a 40-minute thing? Or
on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, the classes were an hour or 55 minutes. And on Tuesday, Thursdays, they're an hour 15. And you have that entire block.
What did they tell you going in? What's the parameters? What do you talk about?
They would give you something. So here's the first one. It's Up Through the Ranks, it's called. From Liberty to the Media Big Leagues Panel Discussion. And so basically, tell your story. How'd you get from A to B and B to C? And the students are in there, and, you know, some of them look really engaged. Some of them are like, why do we have to be here? And, I mean, they don't know who you are. They don't have any idea who you are. They don't probably care. They
I
just
was telling you off the air.
They have to be there.
Ralph Strand just gave me some advice for speaking to a high school. He said, if you mention how many followers you have on Twitter, they all sit up and pay attention.
That really happened.
Now they're interested in what you have to say.
Okay, one of the panels was just me, because they thought this is a job for Bob. Twitter, building a following. Go ahead, Bob.
That was the panel.
And I said, here's my trick for building a following, because they couldn't wrap their head around this goofball has a big Twitter audience. I said, here's my secret. Work at the best sports radio station in America and cover the Dallas Cowboys for a living. Presto, you have a big Twitter following. It's not some...
you're not a kid in a basement who's figured it out.
No.
With opening presents or...
No. I mean, you know.
Or selling metal straws.
Work at the ticket, cover the Cowboys.
That's
presto.
That's like something they're teaching in school now, is it? Like how to get a Twitter following?
No, oh. But what's really, really
Don't
big...
Don't tell me there's like classes.
Honestly, what everybody cares about in the young media world is building a brand.
Huh. And if you're going out for a job, they're going to look at that, right?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
They're going to look at your Instagram and your Twitter and how many followers do you have. And
I think
that's why people are actually...
It's how often you engage, which is why you're selling yourself short. For better or worse, George has 100,000 Twitter followers. There's nothing impressive. I mean, he's not
really
on there. It's just because he works here. Like, your engagements are constant. So, like, that is one way to build it, right?
Yeah.
It's not... You can't just let it sit there.
It's also another way to drive it away.
Yeah.
It's not for everybody.
But it's still, I mean, it's engaging with people who are interested in what you have to say.
Is that why people are paying for fake followers, right?
Of course.
I guess.
To make it look like you...
I don't think we have any. I mean, I'm sure we all have some, but...
You can find out real quick.
I'm pretty sure our accounts do pretty well with the fake follower crowd because
yeah.
P1s are awesome. Another one was they wanted to talk about, okay, the lady who invited me definitely was aware of working for Troy. And so one of them was actually explaining what I do for Fox and for Troy Aikman, which is a extremely confusing thing, made even more confusing when you say to the entire room, has everyone in here heard of Troy Aikman? And then you get a bunch of...
What was the reaction?
I said, let me ask another way. Who in here hasn't heard of Troy Aikman? And seven or eight hands go up. I mean, these are college students who want to get into sports broadcasting, who haven't heard of the number one Fox NFL broadcaster on the planet right now.
Yeah, it's not just that he retired 20 years ago. You could see him every week. Or like, what, 20 million people do a week.
So then I literally explained to the class, for the benefit of those seven or eight, who Troy Aikman was. So, no, they didn't know who I was. Then the final one that day was...
Did they know Mike Lucky?
The importance of branding yourself. So I had to come up with something there.
Did you say you don't think it's important to any of these things, or did you come up with...
Well, there was one where they said Facebook and Twitter, finding sources, crowdsourcing info, and verifying tips. And me and a young lady who is out in the world now from Liberty handled that one, and I told her, why don't you handle the Facebook part, because I don't spend any time on Facebook. I last looked at it 6 months ago. And she, because she's in TV news, said Facebook's very big to the TV news crowd. And then she said, how many of you have Facebook? Almost no kids raise their hands.
Oh, yeah?
How many of you watch the evening news? Almost no kids raise their hands. She said, exactly. Facebook is for an old demographic, just like TV news is.
Interesting.
Like, it's the same, it's the Venn diagram, it's overlying circles, exactly.
College kids don't have Facebook these days? That's not a thing?
They've
gone to Graham.
They ceded all the real estate to their mom.
And grandma.
I mean, the Saturday Night Live bit several years ago was, it kind of summed it up perfectly, that once you found out your mom was on Facebook all the time, you gave her Facebook.
It's a lot less appealing to post photos of yourself doing stuff when your grandma says cool every time, so you just move on.
That's why, like, no parents are on Snapchat, right?
Very few. I mean, if they're on there, they're on there to spy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see, what else did I do? There was one on Instagram.
Would you take questions and such?
Yeah.
Was there anything good there, or just...
I mean,
regular?
Honestly, they're all there.
You think you're going to have, like, a Linsanity, like, same hair for you?
I don't know what that is. Did I miss something from the last couple of days?
Yes, yeah. We did replay some really funny audio. What was it from? The Rajon Rondo press conference for some reason.
Oh. Well, I would just say they're all terrified about getting their jobs, you know, just like we were. When you sat in college, the only thing you could think about is, how am I going to get hired? How am I going to get hired? How am I going to get hired? Every class, how am I going to get hired? How's this going to work? There's not enough jobs. There's not enough people. This is a dying industry. I want to follow sports for a living. How am I going to get hired?
Here's what I'd wonder.
And my answer to them is, man, I wish you the best of luck, bro. I don't have any idea.
What I wonder is, and like Jake and CC started their podcast
Build Your Brand.
Everybody didn't do that, but now it's kind of like, all right, just go out and it's always get reps, right?
Yes, and that was
want to be in the game.
That was a big part of my message.
Something. Whatever it is, if it's a YouTube channel or a podcast or something, do something.
Don't wait for someone to pay you.
However, I know you guys did a lot of them off the air before you would ever publish one.
And I cited that. I have a friend who had a podcast, and the number one thing you're going to do with podcasts is you're going to worry about how many people are going to download each episode, and you need to get that out of your head right now. It's not important. It's not important if anyone hears them. What's important is you're practicing broadcasting or having opinions or literally anything. That's all that matters.
But in the old man days, we could also go get a job at a small radio station. You're going to make very little money, but you're going to do a ton. You're going to get to learn how to do news and maybe hire the news person or write spots or voice spot. You know, you're going to do everything. You're going to sell, even though you don't want to.
Right.
But these are all the end justifies the means, right?
Yes.
Does that even exist? Are there like local AM radio stations or FM, whatever, in small towns around Texas that you could say, hey, let me work here for $1,000 a month and I'll just do everything?
Yeah.
A thing?
Honestly, dude, my messages were...
I don't know if that exists.
I cited you on a regular basis about how interns should handle themselves and how sometimes, yes, making sure a spoon is delivered with the soup is going to be the least important thing to you when you start your internship. I'm telling you, it's one of the most important things in terms of giving an impression on what you're all about. And the idea of... Yes, you want to cover the NFL for a living. That's why you're getting into this business. Understand that might start by covering high school volleyball.
And I remember hearing that when I was a kid.
And so you want to be versatile in your specialties. You want to try to provide expertise in many things. And then you don't want to limit yourself to, I want to be in radio, or I want to be in TV, or I want to be able to write. You want to figure as many out as you can, because the more versatile you are in both expertise and skills, the tougher it will be for them to fire you someday.
You know what I wondered? Like resume building and all that kind of stuff? Do you make a resume anymore, or is it all digital?
Evidently you do, because that was a big thing as well.
And do you make a tape?
Yeah. Yeah,
you can just send a Dropbox link now.
Right. And the girl who's now 24 out there in the TV world, I think she works in Roanoke now, she was talking about you put it on YouTube and you tag as many different things as you can so people find you that way. And I didn't know any of that stuff. I haven't put a resume tape together in 20 years.
I think I've said this on the air before, and I know we're really late, but I'm going to mention it because I think it's a good bit. I remember one of the things I did was I didn't know what people wanted to hear, like your Jeff Catlin, if he's a PD at a major station. I didn't know what people wanted to hear. So I was reading like Radio Magazine or whatever back then, or Radio.com. So what I did is I put an ad posing as a mid-market program director looking for a sports talk show host.
Man, I totally forgot the story.
Because I wanted to be a mid-market. I thought that was my next step. I wanted to be a sports talk show host. I think a mid-market's probably something that would hire me. So I put an ad with a P.O. box, my mom's P.O. box in Cleveland. And I said, I'm looking for a sports talk show host. Send your tape and resume. And I got hundreds of them. So now I had all these resumes and tapes to look at and listen to.
Of your competition.
But I got to know, okay, this is what people are sending and expecting, and can I put something together that's better or different or would stand out? If I have a desk full of these, what would I put together?
That's kind of genius, man.
And it was a lot of people I heard on the air, you know, that I knew who they were looking to move, and that was interesting.
I love it. I told the Sparky Anderson story. I had a great time. They worked our tails off. I talked for 8 hours Monday and 8 hours Tuesday straight. We were pretty exhausted by the end, but I'm happy I did it. And I'm happy I saw where I went to school and how much it changed. And
Liberty's favorite son.
I don't know about that, but overall, I wasn't sure if I would enjoy the experience, and it went well. So high five. High five me right now. It's 1:15 at Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. Let's do a 5-minute major on the Mavs now.